water the seed. Let it get deeper and deeper and deeper. And then as those fingers start going out, we start linking arms. And you got to be in the church. You got to be in. People go, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church. I can sit at home and watch it online. I can sit at home. No, 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 no. God wants you in church with other believers, locking arms. Because I know those people who don't go to church. I talk to them. They go, no, I don't want to. But you know, as soon as trouble comes, as soon as something happens, they freak out. They freak out. They don't know what to do. And then they're calling me or calling up. I don't know. I don't know what to do about this. Go to church. Get hooked up in the church. Get in the Word. Start praying. Because if you don't, I can't quote the scripture, but it says, iron sharpens irons, guys. That's what we are here for. To sharpen each other, to build each other up, to be there for each other. If you guys call me, I'd be there in a heartbeat. We're there for each other. We're there to minister to each other, to do what we can for each other. That's what it's all about. And if we're not willing to put ourselves in that situation, yeah, being a part of a church and volunteering and or being on staff or whatever, it opens you up to a lot of things. A lot of criticisms. A lot of people stabbing you in the back. Because once you start stepping out in the Word of God and you become bold in your faith and you become strong in your faith and you know who you are in your God and you're not willing to compromise on anything, people don't like it. They don't like it. They don't like it. When we stepped out, I even had friends, when I told them I was going to school, oh, yeah. I haven't heard a word from them since day one. And then I know they're having issues. I know they're having troubles. But I don't have no inroad into their lives anymore because they shut the door on me because now I'm radical. I'm going to Bible college. I listen to Andrew Womack. It's okay. Let me tell you one thing about Andrew. Andrew's the same as he was in 1990 as he is today. He has not changed one bit. He still has a Texas accent. I asked him, man, you lived in Colorado a long time. I said, when's that accent going to go away? He goes, what accent? I go, Lord Jesus, you need to listen to yourself on tape. That's what you need to do. But yeah, I love that, man. He is so awesome. He is so awesome. Hey, let's move over to Genesis 2. And we'll come back to that video here in a minute. I just wanted to give us a little bit of a little start on that video. Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. That's what I was saying earlier, guys. The breath of God is in us. It hasn't stopped. It's continued constantly. It's what gives us life. It's who we are. Because Adam was just a dirt bag. He was just dirt just laying there until God said, whew, he's breathing into him life. And that's what God's breath into us. Now, when Jesus was on the cross, and our salvation was up there. When he took his last breath, was the next breath was ours of salvation. That breath came on us of salvation. That breath of love, of closing that gap between man and God that was torn so long. He bridged that gap. And that breath just whew, and gave us life. Gave us life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we do have responsibility of the call of God in our lives. Every one of us in here, we've heard the Word. We've accepted God. Now we are responsible for it. What are we going to do with it? It's up to us. It really is. It's up to us. Now, there might be seems like just like a seed that's under the ground. It's dark. It's lonely. It's wet, you know, we're not seeing a whole lot of stuff going on. We don't see a whole lot of what we're doing or anything like that or fruit in our lives. But that root is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Go ahead with that video again. So, go ahead and play. So as you can tell, the root's gotten deeper and deeper. But now, as these go out, these are that second foundation, we start growing. That's the fruit. That's what's starting to push through the ground. Guys, as we get the Word of God in us, and we keep watering, the fruit of God is that everything just starts pushing up out of the ground. It's pushing up through the soil of a heart. And it's just getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Those cares of this world, the winds, the waves, no matter what going on in our lives, no matter what the devil throws at us, cannot knock us over. Because not only do we have the root that's going deep down inside, we also have the roots that are going out like this. And it's grabbing onto other plants, grabbing onto other trees, grabbing onto other believers and brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we're locking arms. We're becoming stronger in what God wants us to be. And when things do come against us, we got the family of God to go to and say, hey, I need you. And they just come and hug you. And they go, we're with you. But if you're out there by yourself and you're just that cold seed, your seed is still underneath the ground and it's just sitting there and you're not doing anything with it, you're not nourishing it, you're not giving it the watering it needs or the food it needs, it just sits there. It won't grow. I mean, the ground will grow anything. You put a fence post in it without it being treated, the ground will try to grow it. That's why it rots and decays, because the ground's trying to push it. You ever see concrete sometimes? You put a fence post in with concrete. Sometimes it depends on where you're at. I know in Texas sometimes that clay and everything and stuff, it will start pushing it up. It's trying to grow it. It just, the ground sees something. That's the miracle of the ground. It sees something. It has to grow it. That's who we are. We are the miracle of God. We are God's love. We are God's children. He's put a seed in us. He's trying to grow something in us. All we have to do is let it happen. Let it happen. And I guarantee you, let me tell you, like I said, 3 years ago, I would not have been up here. Put me behind a guitar and a mic, I'd do it all day long. But up here speaking to everybody, I would have been shaking and nervous and freaking out going, I don't know what to say. Second year is awesome for that. I'm just going to let you know. Because they will put you up in front of people and you have no choice because it's part of your grade. And then when you go on your missions trip, they might come up to you like they did to me down in Managua, Nicaragua. Hey, get up and give your testimony. And this building was full of people. It started out, it may have been about 50 people. There was, by the time I got, it was standing room only. I didn't know a lick of Spanish, but I had an interpreter, and she was awesome. She, Natalie Perez, she's awesome. And she sat there and interpreted my whole testimony to in front of all these people. And these people were just holding on every word you say. And I'm like, this is awesome. I never thought I could do this. This is awesome. I was like, wow. Wow. My testimony is ministering to people. I can't even speak their language. But through an interpreter. And their lives are being changed. And I have people come up and want in prayer. Dr. Linus. Anybody here know Dr. Linus? You know Dr. Linus. Dr. Linus, he's a third-year student. He's a tall, black, Cameroon African man. Sweetest man you ever know. He is awesome. Him and his wife, they were on my missions trip too. He got up there and started talking about healing. And, you know, he came from Cameroon. He was, you know, poor. He was part of the riots that go on there. Wasn't that a good kid until God got a hold of him? Now he's a doctor, you know, and spreading the love of God all over the world. And when he was down there, kids were coming up and saying, parents were saying, bring their kids up, pray for my son, pray for my daughter. I want her to be a doctor. And this is in the area that is probably one of the poorest countries in the world. I mean, it's just sad down there. But man, those people have hope. And through the Jollies, how many of those kids have now gone through their schools and now are part of the government, finishing college and stuff like that, because they're planting the seed of God in them. They're planting the Word of God in them. It's growing. It's thriving. And the fruit is just, boom. Could you imagine the Jollies' fruit? Imagine they must have an orchard, because those two have reached so many kids in their 25 plus years they've been in Nicaragua. It's amazing what they're doing. That's who we are. We're no different than the Jollies, guys. We're no different. We have the same seed of God in us, the same Spirit of God in us, wanting to do the same work. All we have to do is say, okay, God, use me. It's scary. We all have our careers. We all have what we want to do in life. But God has other plans. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. The thoughts. He already has it laid out, guys. All we have to do is trust Him. And that was one thing. I grew up in a family of 6 kids. 4 boys and 2 girls. I was the second of the youngest. My dad was a military guy, an officer in the Navy. So he was gone a lot on the ship. He was gone. I don't know why my mom didn't kill us all. And just said, told my dad, hey, we're just going to start over. Because we were terrible. I'm just going to... My dad would be gone 6 months to a year at a time on the ship. So we just ran amok. You know, my poor mom, she only stands this tall. You know, she's the sweetest lady, but man, we all turn out okay. We're all still alive, and she hasn't taken us out yet. So, and my dad was awesome, but you know, I grew up in that life, and I knew what I wanted to do. I watched my dad. He did 26 years in the Navy. I was like, I couldn't find it. After we got married, I couldn't find a job. I go, I know the military. I could do that. And so I was going to make a career out of the military. That was my life. I was going to, okay, I'm an Army guy from now on. My dad threatened me with my life if I joined the Navy. So I didn't join the Navy. I didn't want him to kill me. So I joined the Army and then found out they could put me in danger zones worse than he would be. So it didn't matter. But I went on and went in the Army. I was going to make a career. I was on my fast track. Boom. I was making rank fast. And then God said, boom, no. We got saved when I was in the Army. We were down in Killeen, Texas, at First Assembly of God at Killeen is where we got saved. It was February 27th, 1987. No, 22nd. It was 22nd. And it was a Korean guy up there giving the message. It freaked me out. A Korean guy, and he had a southern accent. I was like, that'll tilt your head like, what the heck? But I was like, what's going on? His name was Sam Reifkuckel. Still remember him to this day. Awesome message. And because of his message and everything is why we went forward and got saved and been in the church ever since. And our oldest daughter was 6 months old. And they've all grown up in the church. And that was awesome. But I was going to make a career out of that, guys. I had a plan for myself. And God said, no, I want you to go home and minister to your family. So we came home, didn't have a job, and that's when I hooked up with Andrew Womack and worked for him, and our families got saved. All right? But I was like, job well done. Okay, now God, what can I do? I'm just going to go on and do my own thing. And I started doing my own thing. And I saw, as I was doing my own things weren't as easy as when I was with God. I started doing my own thing, but that's when my roots started kind of drying up a little bit. The leaves started withering. Like I was saying in Psalms 1 and in verse 3, we are planted by the river. We are planted by the river of life. Our leaves will never wither or dry up. We will never have seasons of change like we see out here, the leaves changing colors and falling off and doing things. We will never go through that as we keep ourselves planted and we let that root get deeper and deeper and then start fingering out to the waters and to other trees and grabbing on and holding on to people of like belief and holding on being strong with one another. We will never wither. We will always be. Now, and am I saying times of trouble won't come? The devil will not try not to knock you over and cut you down. He will. We have plenty of them. He will. He will try to come. The devil tried to take me out 3 times in car accidents within 7 months before I started school. I know. I mean, 2 of my accidents were within 7 days of each other. Second accident, me and my wife was in a car going down I-40 in Arkansas. Just outside Little Rock. And so when I was doing 70 miles per hour, switching lanes, coming around a semi, because I had my cruise control on. The semi was going slow, so I was coming around. It was 10 o'clock at night. Someone came up and hit me from behind. Their excuse was, their cruise control stuck. Yeah, right. you were texting. It was nothing against young girls, but it was a young lady. The first accident was a young lady who hit me. My third accident was a young lady. I finally asked God, I said, what did I do? I do something wrong with my three girls? Because we raised three girls. And you know God loves me because he gave me the grace for it. To raise three girls. And people say boys are hard. Not even close. Not even close. Woo, Lord Jesus. I have a friend. Well, his pastor, a friend of mine down in the Springs. He's got seven kids. And I think two of them are boys. I said, man, your mansion must be nice. Because God loves you, man. Because girls, let me tell you, I love my girls. They are a blessing of God. They give me five beautiful grandchildren. They're awesome. I love my girls. They're strong women in God. They're strong. But, man, when they were teenagers, I wanted to kill them. I wanted to take them out. But I tell people, I said, there's a reason why God created garages and basements. That's where the dads can get away. It's the truth. We had to get away. We got to get out. But man, I remember we were trying to find a house. We wanted a house with all four bedrooms on the same level because our girls were going through teenage years and stuff like that. We wanted to all be together. Our bedroom was down here, and all the other three bedrooms are right here. And there's a long hallway. And early in the morning, I stand by my door and I just hold my breath, go, and I run because every perfume, gel smell, makeup smell, name it smell, it was there, man. It just permeated. It was like, oh, yeah, you guys are killing that ozone, man. Give it a rest. But, man, I just thank God every day that we raise those kids in the church. Because even to this day, they know. Anybody remember Salty the Songbook? We have to educate these people. It was back in the 80s. It was actually, you know, what's that dinosaur's name? Barney the Dinosaur. Well, this was kind of an answer to... It was a songbook. Dude dressed up like a songbook. It was Salty the Songbook. But anyhow, they still sing his songs to this day. You'd be amazed what happens to your kids. I don't care if they fall away. They still remember those things that you planted them because it's in there. It's in there. It only takes a spark to bring it back. It only takes a problem to bring it back. It only takes a troubling time to bring it back. They know it's in there. It's planted. It's good ground. We are good soil. We are God's soil. And sometimes people go, well, look at all these people that are running around. They're just running amok and causing all sorts of trouble and everything. It was a choice. It's what they wanted to do. They let the devil come in and control their lives. They let the devil do in their lives what he wanted. They didn't surrender. They said, I don't want to surrender to God. I don't want to have nothing to do with that God. If I have to do what he's telling me to do, if I have to go here and do all this stuff, I want to do what I want to do. I want to be who I want to be. Well, all the richest people in the world are the most miserable people in the world. All the successful people in the world are the most miserable people in the world. Because I've seen them and I know them. People, I could have went ways of where I could make tons of money. And not saying God wouldn't have blessed me making all that money and my family probably still would be good. But the temptations of things that could have came, I know myself better than that. I know myself. So I didn't go that route. I went this route with God and sticking with God and his word and letting the water of the word, you know, watering my seed. I stood that way. And I watched these other friends who went that way and everything. Some did okay. Some are families are a wreck to this day. Now they're trying to fix it. And it's going to be fixed if they let God do it. It will be fixed. They will have successful families. And that's what it's all about, having successful families. The mustard seed, and Mark 4:30. We'll go over there real quick. Mark 4:30. Jesus here is talking about the mustard seed. I looked this up. A mustard seed. What's a mustard seed? Because he talks about... Well, let's go to 4:30. Let me just read it. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground, is smaller than all seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, It grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may rest under its shade. I looked that up, and what the, because if you look up mustard seeds, you see these like it's little plants. I'm like, how can birds of the air lodge in its branches? But what it's talking here is the black mustard seed, which grows up to be 9 feet tall. So which makes sense why he was saying how birds can go, you know, lodge on the branches and under the shadows. And so that's, you know, 9 feet tall. Guys, spiritually, as we let our plants grow, as we let our plants flourish, and then we bust above that ground, we're 9 feet tall in God. I'm taller than you think I am. I may only look 5'8", but I'm 9 feet tall in God. I'm 9 feet tall in my spirit. I'm a giant in God's eyes. We may not seem like we feel that. We may not feel that way. We might think, I'm not no giant in God. Yes, you are. Because that's how God sees you. That's how, as your plant, as their seed starts going up and just bursting through that soil of your heart and starts growing and the leaves start coming out, we are larger than we ever think. In our spirit, we are huge. That's why it doesn't, like during worship, like Tina was saying, when we look in the mirror, we see our physical. And when we, in that one scripture, when we walk away, we don't even know what our nose looks like. We see on the outside, but what we see, what God sees on the inside is giants, spiritual giants. David killers. I mean, not David killers, Goliath killers. I was thinking of David killing Goliath. Goliath killers. That's who we are. That's who we are in the spirit. We're 9 feet tall. 9 feet tall. And yes, the birds of the air. I imagine myself as a tree standing out there in the waves and the winds and everything coming against me. And the birds of the air lodging on my branches. The doves. That's why I picture doves out there on my branches. Holy Spirit flowing out of me. Fruit of my branches nourishing others around me. Ministering to multiple people. That's what I vision when I think of God. And my and who I am, how God sees me. I do want to go to one other scripture. And like I said, I'm not going to keep us too long, guys, because of the weather. I don't know what it's doing out there right now. I think it was Mark. Just go to Mark 11. Just go to the Copenhagen scripture. Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin. Copenhagen, I call it Copenhagen scripture. Mark 11:22. And a lot of people, they take this out of context, but it's they just have to read it and know what it's really being said. And Jesus was answering to them because they've asked him some questions. They're asking him a question about the fig tree because he just got done cursing it and how it was withered. The leaves are starting to wither. Well, they didn't see something happen to it right away, but it started from the root, and it went up. And so they were asking questions about Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or in some translation, have the faith of God. So we have the same faith of God. For as surely as I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, that mountain can be anything. It could be mountain. It could be a physical mountain. It could be mountains of debt, of physical anxiety or sickness or illnesses, any mountain, or kids getting coming back to the Lord or even getting saved. Those are mountains that come up before us that the devil tries to block us with. And we can speak to those things, and they have to obey. It may not seem like anything's happening right then and there, but it's working. Because the word of God goes out of our mouth, it's working. Okay? Be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart. So that's another thing. We can't be doubting. We can't go, well, I speak to you, fig tree, in the name of Jesus. Nothing grow on you. No fruit. You bear no fruit no more. Wow, nothing happened. Oh, I guess it doesn't work. No, it doesn't work that way. We speak it and believe and know it's done in Jesus' name. but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will not, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So, just like in Psalms 1, when it says we can't be in the same seat of a scornful or those weird people, and you don't want to be around evil people and stuff like that, and not taking counsel from them, but abiding in the Lord. Same thing here. We have to be forgiving of others. We have to have those trespasses of others forgiven in our hearts. Because those things do come back up. It only takes a little bit of pricking and prodding by the devil to bring up old past memories and stuff like that to make us think, oh, I can't stand that person. Or you see someone else. You may even see someone who looks like that person. And you go, oh my gosh, I can't stand that person. No, guys. We have to forget all of that and forgive them of everything. We can't let that just control our lives. And I mean, that's getting in there, and that's seed, that's bad seed. That's weeds. We have to pull those weeds out. And that's doing gardening on our seed, guys, on our ground. We have to continue to be weeding our garden and watering it the Word of God. So I just wanted to encourage you guys. Another scripture I like to go to is Joshua 1:1-9. Be confident. Let me just get over there real quick. Now, this is when Joshua is kind of, he's kind of taken over. Moses is dead now, okay? After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, this is some long scriptures here, so I'm just going to read it all the way through, and I'll point out the ones I want to really get to. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over to this Jordan, and you and all this people to the land which I have given them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give you, as I said to Moses. Guys, that's still true for us today. Everywhere we go, that ground is ours. That's holy ground. Everywhere, because we are a representation of God. And we are going, and that's our ground. And so we have authority where we go in that. From the wilderness and to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. And then if you skip down to verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that was written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And you notice he says twice in there, be strong and of good courage. Twice he says that. There's a reason why he's saying it if he's saying it twice. Be strong and of good courage, guys. Don't let the circumstances of life come against you and start knocking you down. Keep the Word of God before you. Studying the Word, watering your seed, letting those roots get deeper and spreading out stronger so that plant and your fruit can start coming up. It may seem like dark days sometimes because your seed is still underneath the ground. It may seem that you're being overtaken, but you're not. You're not being overtaken. You're not being overcome by this world. But as the water of the Word keeps going in, and the water keeps watering the seed, and that Word keeps going in, it's just getting stronger and stronger, and that root's getting deeper and deeper. And it's, before you know it, we're breaking ground. We're starting to see the light. We're breaking ground. What's coming up, and it's just starting to get stronger and stronger. We're seeing fruit of what God has called us to do. Guys, I just encourage you, just be strong. Just be strong. And I don't know if... My wife was given this book, the old Charles Capps book. I think it's awesome. I've read through it, I don't know how many times. But on chapter 1, the first page, he says, faith-filled words will put you over. Fear-filled words will defeat you. Words are more are the most powerful thing in their universe. What we say, guys, what we think on, what we read, what we watch, what we do, affects us in every way of our lives. It may not seem like it right then and there. It may not seem like it's happening, but it is. It's gone in and it starts. That's when those weeds come up and try to choke out the word of God. It's when those weeds try to come up and just to take out our root, take out our plant, take out our fruit of what God's trying to do. All we got to do is be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. That's all we have to do. And stay in the Word of God. And being faithful in the Word of God. And trusting in the Word of God. And what He has said and what He's promised to us. His promises are always yes and amen. He is never, ever going to leave us or forsake us. He's always going to be there for us. It may not seem like it sometimes. It may seem like we're all alone. It may seem like it's the darkest day of our life. But have you noticed the darkest time of the day is before the sun comes up? Have you ever been outside? I have been early in the morning. It's like, wow, it's super dark out here. Next thing you know, boom, the sun's coming up. The darkest days of our lives is when the Son of God and our fruit is busting through, our plants busting through that ground. And that's when the fruit is coming. To stand strong, stay faithful, stay in the Word. Don't let the things of this world, because man, there's a lot of junk in this world. A lot of junk. That's why we don't watch TV hardly anymore. We do Netflix and stuff like that because we can choose what we want to watch. And we don't have to watch commercials. Thank God. Commercials are the worst. They kill you quicker than anything else. There's more commercials out there about, you know, take this and it will help you with this. But then they give you the rest commercial. I mean, they say, take this, it'll take care of this. That's the first 10 seconds. And the rest of it, 90 seconds is all death. Well, it could do this. I'll take my chances. I don't need it. I'll take my chances. God's got me, okay? So, yeah, it's all death. It's terrible, terrible stuff out there. We hadn't watched TV in such a long time. I can't remember. I flipped over. I was watching a football game, so I turned on. I didn't even have cable. I was over there. I was watching a football game. This commercial came on. I was like, go away. I was like, what's happening? It's terrible. I don't want to know about your ED. I don't need to know about your woman problems. I don't need to know about that drug killing me after I was supposed to help me. I don't need to know that. I don't need to know that. Who heard Jesse when he was here? And when he talks about going to the doctor, you know, and they want to, are you sexually active? Nob. I'm going to use that. I swear I'm going to use that. None of your business. It's none of your business what's going on in my life. I'm not going to proclaim those things in my life, you know. We were just at a doctor's, was it last week? Yeah, it was last week, our annual checkups and everything. And, you know, I was waiting for them to ask me. They didn't ask me any of those questions. I don't know if they've had that before and people gave them a hard time about it, but they didn't ask me any of those questions. They just asked me, well, what's your family history like? Well, this is my family history, but it's not a part of me. And I was telling the doctor, I don't know how he took it, but I was having joint pains, all my joints, and I'm on my feet all day long, and I lift a lot of heavy stuff. And I was just asked my wife, I get out of bed in the morning, I was like, I feel like I was like 80-something years old. I was like, oh, I couldn't move. And I prayed about it. I said, God, what's going on? He says, stop drinking coffee. I stopped drinking coffee. I'm fine. Coffee has formaldehyde in it. That's how they preserve it to stay fresh so long. Can you get coffee? Like, you go down to Nicaragua where I was at and other places, their coffee doesn't stay that fresh that long. They open the bag, they use it all. If they don't, they just throw it away because it doesn't stay that fresh. So it's I don't drink coffee anymore. I'm not saying you don't have to. Because the only reason I knew, I kind of was figuring this out, I was like, I smelled coffee one time and I smelled someone who smoked a pipe and I was like, why do they smell so different? They smell exactly the same. There's no difference between them. Because both tobacco and both of them have some sort of formaldehyde or chemical in it that keeps them from going bad. Now, that's my research and that's what I've done. I'll leave it at that. So, but anyhow, Be encouraged, guys. Be strong in the Lord. God has got you. Be stay in the Word. Be faithful in the Word. Don't let the things of this world trouble you. Don't let things that come against you bring you down and, you know, uproot your seed. Don't let that happen. Stay faithful. Stay in the Word. Knowing that, you know, there's going to be days that are to come, but man, those dark days are going to be glorious, bright days just right around the corner. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. God is faithful. Those things are going to come. We live in this unforgotten, we live in this world. So we're going to see things and hear things, but we just got to keep meditating on the Word. Keep meditating on the Word and let the Word of God be the very thing that keeps us strong, keeps us rooted in who we are in God. If you're having trouble, just go to the Word. The answer is right there. Just stay faithful. Amen? Amen. I'm going to leave it there because I don't know what the weather's doing out right now, but I don't want to keep us too long. Everybody, well, I'm toasty up here now. That's for sure. So praise God. Praise God. Father God, I just thank you for the Word. I thank you that the Word of God is strong, is true, that the Word of God does exactly what it's going to do. And as long as we apply it to our lives, as long as we keep it before our eyes, as we do what you've called us to do, no matter what it may look like to others around us, but we stay true and faithful in who you are and what you've called us to do, and we stay strong, we keep on that path, we keep on that journey, and when roadblocks come, we just speak to them in the name of Jesus, and they must go. And when we keep on going straight forward, Father God, not to the left or to the right, but straight forward in what God has called us to do, you're faithful, Father, to see those plans come to pass. They will come. They will happen. And things will happen, Father God. And it's not because of what we've done. It's because of who you are in us. And who you are in us is what makes us successful. It makes us who we are. And God, the callings on our lives sometimes can be scary. But with you, it's a glorious thing. With you, it's a marvelous thing because we know that you have it. We trust in you. And Lord, I thank you. I just proclaim over everybody in here debt-free. Everybody in here healthy, healthy, healthy lives. Lord, whatever anybody is struggling with right now in the name of Jesus, I come against it right now. And I stand with them in the name of Jesus. We speak to those mountains and we command them to be removed and to be cast in the sea and be gone out of their lives. I thank you, Father God. They are blessed, 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 blessed. And there's no other answer to it but bless. And Father God, we thank you and give you praise, Father God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. Well, thanks, guys, for coming today and braving the weather.